clerk read the roll, please?
Chris Keckler?
Here.
Steve Komarkowitz?
Here.
Dave Klimisch?
Here.
Mike Serpy?
Here. Quorum present. We have a presentation, and that'll be presented by Chief Dave Smetana for the police appreciation. Chief?
Thank you, Trustee Serpy and members of the board. In 2016, I met with Roger Mayer and Howard Cooley at their request regarding the welfare of the officers of the Pleasant Prairie Police Department. During that time frame, five officers had been ambushed in Dallas and killed, and that was one of the seemingly endless stream of struggles between law enforcement across America and the public they served during that summer. From that meeting, the Pleasant Prairie Police Appreciation Association was born. The group grew, and other great community partners joined in. Rick Waller, Rosalie Villano, and Kathy Barker. The main mission of the group was to support the men and women of the Pleasant Prairie Police Department. The first operation included creating and distributing police appreciation yard signs throughout the village. The goal being to fill as many yards as possible with these signs to be a constant reminder to the officers in the community that they are appreciated and supported by the village they serve. The immediate future plans of the association included sponsoring a cookout for the officers in the upcoming months. They also assisted the agency in sponsoring a mental health wellness meeting for the officers and their families. That wasn't all. The group then funded the purchase of 32 body cameras for those officers. They also worked on volunteered for a Law Enforcement Appreciation Day in 2017, started by another great village resident, Sarah Borst. Tonight, I would like to formally acknowledge their tireless work as they endeavor to make sure that each officer who wears a uniform in our community understands that they don't serve alone, that they have a grateful community behind them and supporting them. So if I could have the members, Roger, Howard, Rick, and Rosalie, come forward for the presentation of a plaque. The plaque reads, in recognition, the Pleasant Prairie Police Appreciation Association, in grateful recognition of your dedication and for demonstrating service and caring to the officers and staff of the Pleasant Prairie Police Department, with our sincerest thanks and gratitude. Signed this day, 2018.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Is there anything that would anybody like to add to Howard, Roger, Rose, Rick, anybody?
I'd just like to say we should also thank the many volunteers, some who are in this room, who worked with us and spent their time. And the money came from over 100 donors. And we should thank them as well. And they're all listed now as friends of the Pleasant Prairie Police Force.
Thank you, Howard. You know, not only does Howard and Roger and Rick and Rosalie help out with the recognition for the police, they're also here to help the village in many different ways. They're willing to come forward and to do what it takes to make Pleasant Prairie what it really is. And it's appreciated, believe me, by this board. And I know the police department, when they drive down the subdivisions and the main streets and see those signs, thank you. It means a lot to them. It means an awful lot to them. And I personally want to thank all of you for your efforts, and it's really appreciated. Thank you very much. Okay. Minutes of the January 15th board meeting.
Move approval.
Second.
Move approval, approval by Dave, second by Steve. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, the ayes have it. Citizens' comments. Jane, do we have a sign-up?
There are no sign-ups this evening.
Okay. John Prechick, I know you indicated you want to talk.
John Prechick, 4816 84th Street. I'm here to comment on an item that's been approved in this year's budget. It's Beverly Woods Phase 2 Stormwater Project. I understand that there's about $470,000 approved in the budget for design for this year, and then there's some additional money in that budget next year for construction. I'm here to just say, to ask you to please expedite that engineering plan. From my understanding, the engineering design evaluation is going to be done by an outside engineering firm. But there's going to be a significant lead time from the time the request for proposal gets sent out to the time that the engineering firm can put the evaluation and design on their schedule. It's going to take many months. So what I'm asking is if you could please expedite the request for proposal so that that engineering firm at least can put that work on their calendar, so by the time the weather warms up, they can get started, because that's going to be that's going to take some time to complete. On another note, I would like to state that we have plenty of drainage issues in Beverly Woods subdivision, and we had the Public Works Department come out and improve several ditches late in the year last year, and they did an outstanding job. The crew that came out were efficient. They knew exactly what they were doing, and they did prevent some and minimize some property damage that occurred about 3 weeks ago. We had another water main break, and those ditches that were recently dug carried a lot of the water away that would have otherwise caused property damage to some of the houses. So for that, I thank you.
Thank you, John. This is an area that's troubled, and it's a different area because the water utility is serviced by the city of Kenosha. And there have been a couple water main breaks, and I know John Steinbrink, Jr., Public Works Director, is on top of it. And it is an area that's going to need attention, and it's going to need attention sooner than later. So we'll work with it, John. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else wishing to speak under citizens' comments?
Thank you. I didn't know there was a sign up. Joseph Rouse, 6530 42nd Avenue, Kenosha. I just wanted to I have a comment on the January 15th decision about the lethal removal of the beavers of the Beaver Dam near 3rd Street, or 3rd Avenue, I believe. And I just wanted to, I was looking over the 2015 to 2025 wildlife plan for beaver maintenance, I guess, or maintenance and management, I think it's titled. And I just wanted to know, I understand that there are beaver hunting periods and trapping periods, and that removal is called for in certain cases of cold water flow to maintain that and to maintain areas for trout and everything like that. And I just wanted to ask if, as the document states, to consider removal only after certain management and education plans have been implemented. And I just want to know if those have been talked about before the decision was made about removing them lethally.
I'll let John answer that.
Okay.
I'll staff to the chair. Yeah. We did enter into a contract with the USDA, and they're really the experts in executing this contract. We don't have in-house staff. We don't have any local contractors that we work with that have the qualifications at the USDA. So I guess the village really leans on their expertise to make sure that everything's done properly. I haven't talked to them specifically about those questions that you had asked,
okay,
but I can reach out to them and verify, but I would believe since they are the USDA, they follow all the rules and regulations as far as trapping. And that's why we go with a company like them, just to make sure that things like this don't get missed.
Okay. Yeah, I just, if I can just say one more thing, is that I know that the decision was made in cooperation with them. I know that there was a statement about that it was like the most inexpensive way to do it and most the least intrusive way. I just wanted to bring up the fact that in the management plan for the 10-year management plan from 2015, it does suggest to do more management plan implementations for the site, like, you know, in setting up certain fences or doing things like that to prevent beavers from building dams that might cause flooding. So I know that the cost was an issue when the decision was made. They did bring that up. And it was a relatively low cost for this lethal removal plan. But I guess I just wanted to double check with that because they did say that other management plans should be implemented beforehand. And I just didn't want that the cost to bypass all that and just jump to the easy lethal removal. Because even when the decision was made last month, I believe that someone brought up the point that leaving that area unmanaged, proposed by the plans proposed by the facilities in that plan, like setting up fences or putting up bars, could just have beavers come back again. So I just, like, after they were already lethally removed. So I just wanted to make sure that all the options were explored first before going to that conclusion. But I'm sure.
Yeah, I guess I can just respond to that very quickly. We did look at, you know, what you talked about with putting a fence, but then you really need to fence both sides end-to-end, right. And the cost for that is just, you know, it's really nothing that the general fund is budgeted for at this time. We'd have to make a new decision packet. And so right now we're just removing them to make sure that we can get water flow. And the main key for this is just to make sure that we don't have residents that are flooded. We don't have any property damage. Okay. That's really our main focus right now.
Okay.
Thank you. Is there anybody else wishing to speak?
Thank you. Renee Rouse, 6530 42nd Avenue, Kenosha, 53142. I just wanted to backpack on what he was saying about that, is that I actually work at Fellow Mortals Wildlife Hospital in Lake Geneva. It's a hospital where we rehabilitate injured and orphaned wildlife from a lot of areas in Wisconsin. But I was just going to say that if that plan were to go forward, that just to remember that we are there and that if there are any, you know, if anyone sees any, you know, beavers left behind or injured ones, you know, after the fact of, you know, doing the removal or anything like that, that's what we are there for. But I think that also doing something like this could cause a lot of problems for us also because there are so many rules and regulations that limit us to where we can release animals after we have helped them recover from their injuries and such. So if we were to intake any, you know, any admits from, you know, doing this lethal removal, it's going to be very troublesome for us to find places for them to go. So, but also it is just important just to remember that, you know, we are there and that's why we are there is to take care of them. If there are anyone that is left behind or, you know, damaged from this removal. So that's all.
Thank you.
I would like to get your contact information before you leave, if I could.
Oh, sure. Great. I'll get that to you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else wishing to speak? Anybody else? We'll close the citizen comments. Administrator's report, Tom?
I have nothing this evening.
Okay. New business. Received Plan Commission's recommendation to consider resolutions 1803 for the creation of Village Tax Incremental District Number 6. Jean? Or who is that, Kathy?
Actually, I think Kathy will begin the presentation.
Okay.
Okay, this resolution is to create tax incremental district number 6, and its project location is on the map in the overheads. It's in the northeast corner of intersection of 165 and Green Bay Road. This is the creation timetable that we followed. So we did bring it to Plan Commission and the first joint review board. And also the hearing for the public Plan Commission on January 8th. Now here we come to the board for your approval of TID District Number 6. After this, if you're approving this plan, it will be brought to the second Joint Review Board meeting to be created, and then our documents will be submitted to the Department of Revenue for creation. These are the estimated proposed project costs. Phase one is proposed to be $2.133 million, and this project is mainly roads and some traffic signals, and this will be funded by issuance of a GO bond. The GO bond will mainly be paid back by increments from Frater Clinic that already is planning to build on the south corner of this property. The additional phases are totaling a little less than $5 million, and these phases are being funded by the developer. And the developer will issue a developer bond and pay back after our costs for the GO debt and administrative costs are covered first. So the developer is mainly taking the risk. We pretty much have a guarantee from the hospital on a certain increment, which will pay off the debt for the village's GO bond. This is our feasibility analysis, where we looked at the different buildings that are looking to be built in the different years. And the clinic, which is a Frater'd clinic, is the first thing that will be started this year. And we're looking at $11 million completion value, and we'll generate enough taxes to pay our GO bond plus additional money to go for the revenue bond. We're also looking at additional stuff happening over the next number of years up to 2023. We're looking at some retail buildings, a convenience store, grocery store, gas station type thing, for a total value once this is all built out of over $40 million. This is the projected fund balance of this TID. On the side is the incremental values as it increases over the years. The collection year is in the second column over, and our estimated tax rate. We're being conservative by not increasing our tax rate. You can see that once our TID number 2 comes off, we have 16 for a mill rate, which should go up over the years, but we left it conservatively at 16. Then how much taxes we're going to collect. And the first red column shows the debt for the village's GO bond that we're going to be issuing. So the first increment that comes in will be paying off that first payment, principal payment, and the interest has accumulated over the first couple years. And then we'll be issuing later, a couple years later, you can see we're starting to pay off some increments toward the developer bond payment. So the village will be paid off in the 20 years for sure. Depending on how fast the development occurs, will depend on whether the total revenue bond is paid off. The revenue bond is set at a 6% return or investment there. So each year we'll pay out either paying off our debt first and then the revenue bond, and then ending with fund balance of zero each year. Gene can go over these slides. If you have any questions at the end concerning the financial piece of it, I have Jim Town from Alpine Valley and Gene Schultz from Piper Jaffray in the audience to answer any questions also.
So as part of the TID project plan, we put together a series of maps to help describe and illustrate the various components of the TID project plan. These initial maps deal with the existing uses and conditions, as well as the existing boundary and the wetlands on the property. On the map on the left, the two wetlands that had been identified, those are artificial wetlands that had been created over the years, so they will not need to be preserved or protected during the development of this site. It shows that there's two tax parcels, two different parcels that have been already acquired by Main Street Market LLC. So the developer that we're working with has already closed on the property, and they are owners of the property. The second slide shows us, again, the existing conditions, and this property was being farmed and was farmed this past year. Again, the wetlands to be filled, again, because they're artificial. That's identified with the slide on the left. The slide on the right identifies the proposed improvements. It covers the various roadway modifications or improvements, which include improvements to Old Green Bay Road and the intersections with Main Street Market Development, as well as the adjacent 102nd Street. It also addresses some improvements that are going to be made to Highway 165 on the south end, as well as at the intersection of 165 and Old Green Bay Road. In addition, there's an east-west road that's identified as Main Street. Again, this is just one little segment of Main Street. Eventually, Main Street will connect all the way from Highway 31 all the way to 39th Avenue and Springbrook Road over here in the Village Green Center. There's also some identification of some public water main improvement work that's going to be made as part of this, as well as some off-site land improvements. With respect to the next two maps, we have an existing and proposed zoning. As you know, the property is zoned B2, which is a community business district. It currently has an AGO, which is an overlay district for agricultural. Again, this year construction is going to start with mass grading, so this property does need to be rezoned from that AGO, and then a PUD or plan unit development overlay will be placed on this property. As you know, this is going to be developed as a unified business development, and as such, there has been some modifications that we are recommending as part of some flexibility to the zoning ordinance, and we are going to try to have zero lot lines on the site and a whole number of other very detailed provisions that you'll be seeing in a PUD. And again, so it looks like it's one large development that it just doesn't stop and start, and it's carved up in multiple properties. The next series of maps are the land use plan maps. Again, the existing land use plan map does identify it as a community retail and service center area, but it currently has that urban reserve overlay on top of it until we completed our detailed land use planning. And in this case, we are completing it. They have gone through comprehensive planning, some neighborhood planning, conceptual planning. So at this point, and we're probably going to time this with the first tenant out there, the first business that's going to be under construction, that will be the Freighter South Clinic, and that urban reserve will come off, so the entire property will be just in that land use designation as community retail and service center. This evening you have Resolution 18-30 before you. This is a resolution approving the project plan as well as the boundaries for tax incremental district number 6 of the Village of Pleasant Prairie, and it does make certain findings with respect to the development. And I'll just highlight a couple of these. The purpose of this resolution is for the Village Board to determine a finding that it's in the best interest of the Village to provide for the further promotion and attraction of mixed-use development on vacant land, again, at the northeast corner of Highway 165 and Highway 31 in the Village. This project development is to be referred to as Main Street Market. Under Section 66-1105 of the statutes, the Plan Commission, by resolution, adopted the project plan. They held a public hearing. They also adopted the project boundaries, and it is subject to the local legislative body approval, which is the Village Board, and also the Joint Review Board, which will be taking this item up on February 15th. Pursuant to the state statutes, again, the Plan Commission prepared the project plan and the boundaries and has now presented it to the Village Board. Again, their hearing was set for January 8th. The Plan Commission also is also directed the staff to work on a number of other items with respect to this project plan, and we are currently working on those right now. So your approval this evening is subject to some of those other things taking place, and we hope to have those done within the next 4 weeks or so, such as the detailed development agreement, and we are working with our village attorneys on that document. We're working with the developer on declarations of covenants, restrictions, and easements for this entire development. We're working on articles of incorporation for this development as well. So all of those different pieces along with the PUD do need to accompany, because we've got multiple things going on. We've got a TID project plan that we're looking to approve, but we also have our detailed plans as part of this unified business development, and it goes through this planning process as well. And so prior to us finalizing and dispersing any funds or getting to a certain point, and we've got a TID schedule put together, and Jim Town has put that together for us, that we do need to finalize that development agreement, but we just need to take it in steps. We do have a draft that we're working on with respect to the development agreement and some of these other documents, and we have been in close contact with Bear Development as through their Main Street Market LLC ownership for this particular property. And again, a lot of this is tied also directly with the urgency and the necessity of Freightert to begin their clinic on the property. They will be submitting their detailed plans for now preliminary site and operational plans sometime in the next few weeks. So this is something that will be coming to the Plan Commission probably in March, by the end of March. So we want to make sure that all of these other documents will be completed prior to our finalization of the TID project plan. But again, we're seeking the adoption of Resolution 18-03 this evening. And again, if you have any questions, we do have Jim Town here, our advisor, as well as Gene Schultz from Piper Jaffray, as well as Kathy or myself, to answer any questions that you may have.
How long before the traffic analysis is going to be ready, do you know?
The traffic analysis was supposed to have been ready by February 1st, and I placed a call into the DOT because while we have a lot of estimates based on our best determinations from their engineers and our staff as to what improvements need to be made out there, we really do need to get that forecasting information from the DOT. And so I'll be calling them several times this week because they had indicated that we would have that before now.
Okay. Well, we know we have Freightert. SR, is there anything you can share with us tonight that might be encouraging?
We received our traffic numbers back, which is, I think, exactly. We're pleased with that as well. So we got that late last week. And okay. So it's kind of the we can do as much as we can do, and then you still have to go back and wait on those DOT-approved numbers. So now we receive those. So that allows us to actually finish the TIA. Dan, TIA expectation from Ebert's office is? We've got a week to wrap that up. But the indicator is what's really important for us, because we can do about 95% of it once we see that hard data. We generally we've had a lot of communication with the DOT throughout this process. So I don't think there's going to be a lot of surprises. So it now allows us to make some determinations on setbacks and exactly what we do or don't need. So it's part of what we've been doing since last Thursday.
Any further interest in the property?
There has been. Yeah, it's been. It's gotten a little more PR in the public, and so we're fielding a lot of interest at this point and trying to make sure that it aligns with what we all see with the vision of the property when it's done. But we've got three or four very real groups out there that we're looking to ink, and as Gene mentioned, we've got a lot of different processes kind of all going at once, and so just trying to make sure we orchestrate it properly.
Questions from the comments or questions? Dave?
We had talked in a previous meeting, the setbacks and such that you're planning until we get that TIA and the other traffic numbers, I'm guessing we're planning for the roads to be as wide as they can and then hoping for better news, as opposed to planning for the buildings and the footprints and then having to squeeze out some parking spaces.
Correct. We've laid the site out with the way we think that it's all going to align, and we have, I think, been prudent in some worst-case situations. Again, there's a lot of data that goes into it, so I don't believe we're going to be surprised by anything with specifically Old Green Bay Road, the setbacks, the right-of-way. We've increased that size of the walking path, the bike trails, so we've planned for a lot of those things. We had to make some adjustments on what would be the west side of Old Green Bay Road to properly handle the parking and look at how it all fits. And then there's some discussion on that 165 piece with relation to turn lanes, et cetera. So I think we're in pretty good shape on that, and we shouldn't have any surprises, but we'll have all of that confirmed before the next time.
And with the turn lanes and that intersection with 165 and 104th, or with 165 and Old Green Bay, are the turn lanes dictated by the DOT and the TIA, or is that you make that do you conjure up what it looks like based on their data?
So we make sure we don't conjure any of it because we're going to be wrong. So we really rely back on our traffic engineers, and they've particular group that we're working with here has actually done a lot of work in the village, knows the site well. So they put their best information together as we've had a handful of meetings with the DOT throughout the process. So we're getting constant communication and feedback, but they're very much as it's but you still have to wait for the numbers, and it is a DOT decision. It isn't okay. It isn't a us decision as to what actually ends up there, and then they do their traffic projections for where they think it's going to go in the next 10 years, 20 years, and then we don't want to have airport runways and big free roadways that aren't used. At the same point, we have to be appropriate. So they really dictate where that balance lies.
Okay. Question, Gene, Mr. Schultz, if I could, they're going to be responsible for the payments of the GO bonds. If that area doesn't develop as they predict it may develop, what would happen to the time frame of this TIF district payoff if it's not fully developed rather quickly?
Gene, we need you to come up.
The key component here is the freighter clinic, and that's designed to actually pay off the village's GOs. The rest of the development, if it doesn't go through, is going to be funded with the revenue bond, and if there's no increment there to pay off the revenue bond, Mr. Mills doesn't get his money back. So the village is protected. The developer is the one that's at risk, correct?
Okay. Very much the way we kind of architect and designing it from the front end was to mitigate village risk, and it certainly puts risk back on us that we need to get some increment out there, which is, freighter was key in helping us move that forward to make sure we could defer some of that.
Could that extend the life of the TIF district if lack of development obviously would extend the life of the district, right?
Yeah, it could collect until all the debt is paid off from the clinic.
And usually it's 20 years
20 years with a 3-year extension.
Correct.
Okay. Any other questions? What's your pleasure?
Make a motion to adopt resolution 1803.
Second.
Motion by Steve, second by Chris for adoption of 1803. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, the ayes have it. Thank you. Thank you, Esther.
Thank you.
Thanks. Item B, consider the First Amendment of the cottages at the Village Green Condominium Development. Jean?
Trustee Serpy, members of the board, this is a request that has come to us from Todd Stonick, the cottages at Village Green LLC. They are specifically requesting the First Amendment to their original development agreement, and this is to allow for building permits to be issued prior to road pavement being completed within the cottage at Village Green Condominium Development. Again, this project is located north of Main Street between 46 Court and 98th Street, just to the west of the Village Green Center, and just kind of at that northeast corner of the Village Green area of the community. Specifically, what they're requesting, two different things. They are requesting to obtain full construction building permits and begin construction of the condominium units in Phase 1, Units 1 through 31. And secondly, they're requesting to obtain an occupancy permit to operate their models, and that would be Units 4 and 5. Just going to go back to that. The reason for their request is to have the ability to move forward to construct the vertical units in Phase 1 that are not currently approved for construction under the original terms of the development agreement. Owing to the public response to their development, as evidenced by their sales and reservations over the last several months, it's their desire to begin to properly market the development and to project to have their models online in spring of 2018 for people to view. They have completed all of the construction on the site outside of the actual pavement, including the grading, public utility work, the water, storm, sanitary systems, along with retention basin improvements. They've proof-rolled all subgrade on the public right-of-ways for 46 Court, South Cottage Lane, and North Cottage Lane. They've installed the base course for the roadway to a level that's been approved by the village's Public Works Department. They've also added an additional 4 inches of base course to the roadway 2 inches on bottom and 2 inches on top, to facilitate and to provide full access to all of the Phase 1 area for the Fire and Rescue Department, including the capability to support that 70,000-pound piece of equipment that the Fire Department has. As a developer of the site and the general contractor for the construction of the units, through their sister company, Douglas Kent Development, Inc., they're in complete control of the development and the construction activity on the site, giving the village the assurance that all terms and all conditions of the development agreement would be met and the proposed amendment would be adhered to. If they're granted the amendment, they understand that the village will not be issuing full occupancy permits or even verbal occupancy permits for the rest of the units until the roads are fully installed, which is slated for spring of 2018. Again, so what they're asking for right now is to be able to get occupancy, to be able to operate the two models, and then the rest of the units, they want to be able to start construction on them, obtain building permits, start construction, but not getting any final occupancies. So again, we're just going to still be dealing with the developer. Again, this is one of the first of the newer subdivisions where it's all intended to be built under one construction season, but because it started so late in the year, it was split between the fall and now in the spring. So they actually have all the underground improvements, the gravel base, and everything set ready to go, but they ran out of construction season. And years ago, for the first 25 years of the village's history, we actually, that's how we built the roads, that we got to a certain point, and then we would allow construction to begin, and then the curb and gutter and final lift of asphalt would be placed. So this is similar, except that there's a much deeper base that we're working with, and we are working with a single developer, single contractor, so that makes a big difference. We did run this through the Public Works Department, Engineering Department, talked to the administrator about this. So everyone has looked through this and is on board with respect to their request. They understand that it's their liability to do any plowing out there with respect to making sure that their sites are accessible during construction. And, again, they need to be able to pick things up in the spring and then get their concrete in and their lift of asphalt.
And according to your maps here, they have 12 reserved already sold. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's good.
Almost half. That's good. There is a demand in Pleasant Prairie for not only single family but condominium units.
Good. Very timely. Gentlemen.
Move approval of the amendment to the cottages at Village Green.
Second.
Motion by Dave, second by Steve for approval of the amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the ayes have it. Item C, consider a letter of credit. Request number 3 for the cottages at Village Green.
Mr. President, pro tem, members of the board. This is a letter of credit reduction for the cottages in Village Green. This work was done a couple months ago, but it takes some time to get it inspected, get the paperwork processed, and actually get on the agenda. So a lot of the work is done, like Gina just talked about. The storm sewer water, roadway is in, the backyard storm sewers are all complete. So this evening what we have is the payment, or not a payment, but a letter of credit reduction for the roadway gravel and some of the backyard storm sewer in the pond excavation. All that amounts to $91,688.30. Our construction management team went through and verified everything with the consulting engineer in the project, and all the numbers were very consistent. So we do recommend a reduction in the letter credit for $91,688.30.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion by Chris, second by Steve for approval of the reduction of credit. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the ayes have it. Village Board comments. I just have one. Tonight, recognizing our police appreciation, reminded me of something else that we have going that's kind of nice for the village. When things are going well in a organization and you need help on certain commissions or whatever, it's real easy to attract qualified people. And right now we have outstanding qualified people on our boards. Plan Commission, Board of Appeals, Board of Review, Recreation, Parks. And it just makes everybody feel good, and especially this board, that we have competent, good, qualified, energetic people serving this village. And I can't say enough how much I appreciate what these people did for the police appreciation and what they do for this village, not being on the boards, with the exception of Roger, who's been on the Police and Fire Commission since the 1800s. we're fortunate to have people like you serving the village and supporting us in what we try to do. And again, thank you. Next motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion second to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, aye. Thank you.